All right, so today we're looking at Matthew chapter 13, verses 10 to 17. The last time we looked at Matthew chapter 13, 1 to 9, and we spent about 7 weeks on that one, the parable of the sower. But today we're continuing from the parable of the sower. We're looking at same Matthew chapter 13, but we're looking at verses 10 to 17 today. So the one just following the parable of the sower that we've been looking at in the past few weeks. All right, if you've got your Bibles, please turn with me to Matthew chapter 13, verses 10 to 17. I'm reading the NIV version, but whatever version you've got is fine. So I'll read, you can follow me if you haven't got your Bibles, and you can just listen. Then it goes, verse 10. The disciples came to him and asked, "Why do you speak to the people in parables?" He replied, "Because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whosoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken away from them. That is why I speak to them in parables. Those seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I will heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see, but do not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it." Okay, so this is a portion of scripture following the parable of the sower that we looked at last time. And Jesus mentioned a number of really interesting things here in this portion of scripture. His disciples came to ask him a question, and the question they asked him was, "Why are you, speaking to these people in parables? Why don't you just, come out straight and explain what you mean?" And Jesus made an interesting statement here, or a number of interesting statements. He said, "Look, he speaks to them in parables because their secrets to the kingdom of heaven, and those secrets, and well, there's knowledge and there's secrets in the kingdom of heaven. Knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to the disciples, but not to outsiders." And if you read through like Matthew chapter 13 and following through the parables, in the open, Jesus would speak in parables. Then when all the people had left, his disciples would come to him privately and they would say, "Please, what do these parables mean?" Then Jesus would take time to explain what the parables mean to them one at a time. So they were like, "Why do we have to come to, they didn't say this. Why do we have to come to you privately for you to explain these parables? And the other guys that have left now, they haven't heard it. Isn't it better you just, speak clearly to everybody so that we don't have to keep coming to ask you?" But Jesus made the point here that in the kingdom of heaven, there's secrets, and they and we and us have been given the secrets to understand these things. Then he goes on to make another comment about the people outside that's not talking about the disciples now. He said something about the people outside. He said that even though he speaks clearly, they will not understand. Why? Because their ears are dull, their eyes are blind. So many things. So Jesus was even saying that, look, even if I spoke clearly, like I'm speaking to you guys now, these guys won't understand. So that's what he said about the parable. So tonight we're going to be looking at a number of things from this portion of scripture. But what I just want to keep at the back of our minds tonight is the fact that, one, the knowledge of the kingdom of heaven, the secrets in the, sorry, with regards to the things of God, I'm going to be using in the term interchangeably, the things of God and the kingdom of heaven. With regards to the things of God, the Bible says that there are things that are understood spiritually. There are things that Jesus says in the Bible. There are things that we read in the Bible, and their meaning might not be apparent to the non-observant reader. It might seem like Jesus is just telling a story. You know, someone might pick this up and, oh, these are really good Bible stories that I can, you know, read to my kids during their bedtime. But no, Jesus is saying that there are hidden truths in everything that he says in parables. So tonight we're just going to look at a number of things. And tonight we're looking at three things. We want to look at what a parable is. I know I've spoken about that a bit, you know, in the past. Now, Jesus made a statement here saying that the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you. So the second thing we want to look at tonight is, what is the kingdom of heaven? Then the third thing that we'll look at is, what are the characteristics of the kingdom of heaven? Because if Jesus is saying that he has given us knowledge as believers of the things of the kingdom of heaven, then we want to know what the kingdom of heaven is. We want to know what the characteristics of the kingdom of heaven is. And after that, we'll just call it a day for today. So the first thing is, what is a parable? I looked at this definition a while ago when we're looking at the parable of the sower, but I just want to go over it again today. So this is a dictionary definition I've got here. It says, a parable is a simple story used to illustrate a moral or spiritual lesson. I remember when I was much younger, I don't know if I mentioned this before. When I was much younger, I remember this about my grandmother. I think she was alive till probably when I was about 5 or 6 or 7. And she passed on. This was a long time ago. And one thing I remember so clearly about her was that anytime she came to pay us a visit at our house, she would tell us a lot of stories, and we were always excited because she would tell us all these really interesting stories about the past. So I remember that, you know, really well about her. And in the context of some of the stories that she told us, I know that they would have like different meanings, you know, they would have different sayings, and those sayings would have different meanings, so on and so forth. It was like really exciting listening to her tell us those stories. So Jesus here used parables as stories that people could relate to, and he drew spiritual truth from those stories so that people would understand, well, they would be able to pull out things from those stories as he explained it to them, because there were things that they were used to on a daily basis. So it's just saying a parable is a simple, it's a story, but it goes beyond being a story. It goes to illustrate a moral or spiritual lesson. So that's what a parable is. And yeah, Jesus used this quite a lot. Now, the other definition we want to look at is, since we're looking at the kingdom of heaven in this portion of scripture, I took the liberty of getting what the definition of kingdom means. And the dictionary definition of kingdom here is, it's a country, a state, or a territory ruled by a king or queen. So it's a country, state, or territory ruled by a king or queen. So that's what kingdom means in terms of definition. Now, we want to look at the definition of kingdom of heaven. Again, I got this from the dictionary, so you have to spare me if it's not exactly accurate in terms of the kingdom of heaven. And it says here, the spiritual realm over which God reigns as king, or the fulfillment of God's will on earth. Now, that's the definition before we look at the characteristics of the kingdom of heaven. So this definition of the kingdom of heaven, which is one I picked because it kind of really describes it in almost exactly as I would. It says it's a spiritual realm, number one, over which God reigns as king. So it's an unseen realm, and God is the one that reigns in that realm as king. And the other part says it is also the fulfillment of God's will on earth. The fulfillment of God's will on earth. So it's like saying that although the kingdom of heaven is in the spiritual realm, it is superimposed upon the earth. So it's the same thing that you and I, we're breathing, you know, we're breathing oxygen, but we can't see oxygen. It's there. It's CO2, I think, if I remember my chemistry or all that. So there's oxygen that we're breathing. We can't see it. So I would say that oxygen is superimposed on the earth, because even though we can't see it, it permeates every part of the earth. It permeates your living room. It permeates your kitchen. It permeates your room. So even though you can't see it, it's there and it's all encompassing. So that's what I would just say the kingdom of, in the context of the kingdom of heaven on earth here. It's present with us here, although it's invincible. Now, we want to look at the characteristics of the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. Because if Jesus is saying, as Jesus is saying in this portion of scripture, that as believers, we have been given knowledge of the kingdom of heaven. We want to look at what the kingdom of heaven is. I know that there are some theologians that would say, oh, it's kingdom of God or kingdom of heaven. But for this discourse that we're having today, we'll just base the premise that the kingdom of heaven is the same thing as the kingdom of God, and it is, you know, it's the kingdom of God, basically. So let's look at some of the characteristics of the kingdom of heaven from the Bible. Now, the first thing here, I'm going to go through about 10 of them, so you can just, you know, note that. So the first thing is that it is not based on the system of this world. It is not physical, and it is not based on the systems of this world, although we can feel the effect of it. Now, John chapter 18 verse 36 says something. John chapter 18 verse 36 says something. It says, Jesus said, when he was talking to Pilate, he said, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now my kingdom is from another place. So Jesus was making a very interesting point here when he was talking to Pilate. Pilate was saying, I have the ability to free you. You're not even saying anything. You have all these people who are, you know, saying all these things about you, Jesus. Say something so I can free you. And Pilate was implying that he had the power to free Jesus if he wanted to, because he was the ruler of that region at that time on behalf of Rome. And Jesus made an interesting point. He said, look, I'm paraphrasing. My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my disciples, my followers would fight. So we begin to see that the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven that Jesus is talking about here, is not of this world. Jesus himself said it in black and white. I'm going to digress a bit. Now, there is a lot of, it has died down now, I believe. There was a time that this thing came out in Christian circles, and they called it something like enforcing the kingdom of God on earth. And they called it something like, is it seven mountains and something like that, you know, culture, the entertainment and the art and all those things. And the notion of this was that we would take over those areas physically, and then we'll be able to implement the kingdom of God, so on and so forth. But we begin to see that the kingdom of God, as Jesus described here, is not a physical kingdom. It is not us taking over physical kingdoms per se. It's not us saying, okay, as Christians, we have the kingdom of God. Let's take over the country. Let's take over the United Kingdom, or, you know, let's take up arms and take over the country. No. Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. It is a spiritual kingdom. So we need to understand that, that this kingdom is well and alive. We're part of that kingdom, as we'll describe in a minute, but it is not a physical kingdom. It is not trying to take over physical establishments on the earth here, because if that was the case, Jesus will have done that. He will have just waved his arms. He said, I mean, he could have just waved his arm, you know, angels would have appeared. He would have taken over Jerusalem, kicked out Pontius Pilate and made himself, you know, king at that time. But Jesus said, no, that's not what I'm about. My kingdom, the kingdom of God, is not physical. It is not about taking over territory, a physical territory or physical establishment. So the first thing we note is that the system, the kingdom of God is not based on the systems of this world. It is a spiritual kingdom, and it is different from the kingdoms of this world. Now, the second thing we want to see here is this. The kingdom of God came on earth. You know, I gave us an analogy earlier that air that we breathe is superimposed on us. It's all around. Now, the kingdom of heaven came when Jesus arrived on the scene physically. Now, am I saying that the kingdom of God wasn't present before the coming of Christ? Well, not the kingdom of God that we're talking about here. Yes, Israel was there. They had territory, so on and so forth. Now, I'm not saying God was absent from the world. God has always, you know, been in the world. You know, he was there, you know, with Israel. I'm not saying that, but in the context of the kingdom of God that we're talking about here, it arrived with Jesus Christ. So before Jesus Christ, there was no kingdom of God or kingdom of heaven in this context. And there's the Lord's Prayer that we pray. It says, let your kingdom come, let your will be done, when Jesus was teaching his disciples to pray in the Gospels. So the second thing is that the kingdom of God that we're talking about here arrived with Christ coming on the scene, on the earth. And we look at Luke chapter 11, verse 20. Luke chapter 11, verse 20. Jesus said something. He says, but if I drive out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. So Jesus was saying, let's take the analogy that if there was no oxygen in this room previously, if there was no oxygen on the air, in the air previously, analogy, using the analogy, now oxygen has come. You can't see it, but it is now well and alive and present. So Jesus was saying that if I cast out demons by the finger of God, know for sure that the kingdom of heaven has arrived. So the second thing is that the kingdom of God came with the arrival of Christ. I'm going somewhere tonight. Now, the second thing is this. That's the second thing. So the first is the kingdom is not physical. It's not of this world. The second thing is that it arrived with Jesus coming on the scene, on the earth. The third thing is every believer has been rescued from the kingdom of Satan and translated into the kingdom of heaven. Now, I don't want to go into the kingdom of Satan. Maybe we'll look at that some other time. But Satan actually has a kingdom on the earth here. And the Bible tells us that he is the ruler of the world. And scripture tells us that Satan is the one that rules the whole world. I believe it's in 1 John somewhere. It says Satan is the ruler of the whole world, not the ruler of England, not the ruler of America, not the ruler of West Africa, not the ruler of Southern America. No, no, the ruler of the whole world. Now, everyone that is not born again is under the control of the devil, according to what the Bible says. Everyone that is not born again, whether they're nice, kind, the Bible tells us that they are in the kingdom of Satan. So before you and I became born again, we were in the kingdom of Satan. Now, if you guys remember what I defined kingdom as in our early definition, it says a country, a state, or a territory ruled by a king or queen. So before the coming of Christ, everyone was under the control of the devil. We lived in the kingdom of the devil, unseen and seen as well, with Satan you know, manipulating all the things behind. But the Bible tells us that when Jesus came and he died, he did something. He destroyed the power of the kingdom of the devil and gave us a way that anyone that believes in him is translated from the kingdom of Satan into that invincible kingdom of God. And that tells us, that's in Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. It says, "For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves." So everyone that is born again, the Bible tells us that Jesus has removed you and I from the kingdom of the devil and he has translated us into the kingdom of God. Now, at the beginning, when we're looking at the portion of scripture, Jesus said that the knowledge of the kingdom of heaven has been given to us. And the Bible says that my people are destroyed by lack of knowledge. So what that means is, even though you and I have been delivered from the kingdom of the devil, even though the devil has no authority over us, even though there's so many things that do not have authority over us, the fact is that we need to know these things. Do you understand what I mean? And it is the knowledge of those things that we have, that the knowledge of what Christ has done for us. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3 says that God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing, not some, not partial spiritual blessings. It says every spiritual blessing is in heavenly places. So the knowledge is with us already. It's just that we have to bring it out by reading the Bible and the Holy Spirit illuminating that knowledge in us. So we're looking at the kingdom of God tonight. And the third thing is that everyone that is born again has been translated into the kingdom of God, into the kingdom of heaven. The fourth thing is the Holy Spirit is the one that helps us to enjoy the benefits of the kingdom. So it is the work of the Holy Spirit to explain the things of the kingdom to us and to help us to enjoy the benefits of the kingdom of heaven. If you look at Romans chapter 14, verse 17, it says, "For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking." It just doesn't stop there. It says, "But of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit." Number four, that is. Number five, talking about the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of God that we belong to, it operates a different set of lifestyle precepts that is different from the world. So the fifth point I'm making here is this. If you look at Matthew chapter 5 to verse 8, that's called like the Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus begins to explain certain things. And what he's explaining there is, look, you guys are part of the kingdom of God. These are the things that you are. Do you understand? So we live by a different set of rules. Or should I say, we live by a different set of standards. So we cannot use the standards of the world. We cannot use the standards of our culture. We cannot use the standards of our personal preference. No, the Bible tells us that it's a kingdom that has its own precepts. And our studying the Bible, looking at the Bible, reading it is to understand those things. Apart from the things that God has given us, spiritually, we also learn the precepts that this is how we live in the kingdom of God. And if you look at an example here, Matthew chapter 5, verse 43, it says, Jesus was saying, one of the precepts that we live by, it says, "You have heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and good and sends rain on the righteous and unrighteous." So we see this example here that if you went and you told someone who was not a Christian that, look, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you, you'd be like, what's this guy talking about? I should love my boss that treats me so badly. Then you go a step further and say, not only to love your boss, but to pray for them, pray for their good. You'd be like, this what you're saying doesn't make sense. Well, it might not make sense because we live by a different set of standards in the kingdom of God. And that's what the Bible teaches us. That's number five. Now, the sixth thing I want to mention is that the kingdom of God is the only kingdom that has the answer, or that has an answer to the kingdom of the devil. The kingdom of God is the only kingdom that has power over the kingdom of Satan. Philosophy doesn't have power over the kingdom of the devil. psychology doesn't. Begging doesn't. In all these things, they don't have power over the kingdom of the devil. The only thing that has power over the kingdom of the devil is the kingdom of God. And if you look at Colossians chapter 2, verse 15, Colossians chapter 2, verse 15, it says, having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in the cross. So the kingdom of God is the only thing that has power over the kingdom of the devil as we see it. Now, the seventh thing, I'll just brush all these ones quickly. The seventh thing is from Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14. It says, are not angels ministering spirits sent to those who will inherit salvation? So the seventh thing is that in this kingdom that we're in, we have angels as soldiers. We have angels that help us in this kingdom. And if you look at, Matthew chapter 26, verse 53, Matthew chapter 26, verse 53 says, let me just check this. No, let's look at Matthew chapter 18, verse 10. It says, see that you do not despise any of these little ones. For I tell you that their angels in heaven see the face of my Father in heaven. So we see that in this kingdom, which is the seventh point, we have angels all around us. We might not be aware of it, but you and I, as believers, we have angels right around us in this kingdom. Just one thing for us to note. Well, the eighth thing is that we become part of this kingdom, just reminding us this, by being born again. No one can apply to be in this kingdom. You can't put a resume in. You can't argue your way into the kingdom of God. You can't beg your way into the kingdom of God. The only way anyone enters into the kingdom of God is John 3:3. It says, Jesus replied, verily I said to you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. So we begin to see here that only people who are born again, you and I who are believers, can experience the power, can experience the benefits of the kingdom. Yes, the Bible tells us that God gives rain and sunshine to people who are unbelievers. God blesses unbelievers as well. God will heal them. God will do all sorts of things because we're all made in the image of God. But when it comes to enjoying the benefits of the kingdom of God, power over all the misbehavior of the devil, power and peace to live in the world full of turmoil and still be intact, those things cannot be experienced by people who are not born again. They can experience the normal physical things that God gives everybody because we're all made in his image. But when it comes to supernatural peace, when it comes to things that are even invincible, things that we do not see but that have a huge impact on us, it's just unfortunate that only believers can, because Jesus said, no one can see the kingdom unless they're born again. That's the eighth point. Now, the ninth point we see here is that the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, comes with provision for you and I. Now, why am I saying all this kingdom of God, kingdom? I'm saying it because we're part of that kingdom. And Jesus said something in the portion of scripture. He says, it has been given to you and I to know this. Well, you and I have been given knowledge to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. So the more of the kingdom of heaven that we know about, the more of Christ that we know. Bible tells us in 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3 that God has given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. And it goes on to say, according to the knowledge and knowledge of God. So all these things are there for us. It's just that we need the knowledge of it. And I'm not talking about just head knowledge. I'm talking about heart knowledge, that this is what God has provided for you and I, and it is ours. Now, The ninth thing is that God has provided in this kingdom automatic provision and emotional well-being for you and I. How do I know that? Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. It says that, but seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Romans chapter 14, verse 17, which we read earlier. It says, the kingdom of God is not a matter of drinking and eating, but of righteousness, now, peace and joy in the Holy Ghost, in the Holy Spirit. So being a member of this kingdom, you and I have access to supernatural peace, so that even if the whole world is going to pieces, even if the economy is going haywire, even when things are upside down, and it seems like, man, what's actually happening? The Bible tells us that as part of the kingdom of God, as a member of this kingdom, that you have access to the supernatural provision of God. Now, I'm not saying that God is going to appear in your house and say, here I am. This is the money for your mortgage. This is the money for this. No, he's not going to do that. But he will give us the means to do that. What we need. Do you understand what I mean? So we have that supernatural provision from God. And we also have, like I've said here, supernatural peace. We can experience the supernatural peace of God to the point that it seems like you're not even living in this world at all. Jesus was telling Pilate, he told Pilate, my kingdom is not of this world. Bible tells us, Jesus was telling his disciples that, well, you are in this world. You live in this world. However, note one thing, you are not of this world. So what that means is this, we need to remind ourselves and come to the consciousness often that we are not subject to a lot of the things that we're seeing in this world. However, the only way we're going to get there is as we know about the kingdom of God, as we know what we are and who we are in Christ. You get what I mean? Now, the last point I'm going to make tonight is number 10, that we are ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18, it says, all this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. God has given us the ministry of reconciliation, reconciling the world to him, reconciling people to him. Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, it says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. Surely I am with you always and to the end of the age. So the last thing we're talking about here is that we've spoken about the kingdom, the benefits that we have in the kingdom. We have angels working around us. We have supernatural abilities. We can tell what's going to happen in the future. We can speak to God. The Holy Spirit can show us things about our lives. He teaches us things about our lives. However, God wants us to be ambassadors. He wants us to recruit people into this kingdom. Because like I said, God wants everybody to be part of his kingdom. And we are his hands and his feet ambassadors to do this. So I'm going to stop here tonight. But I just want to leave us with this fact. And the fact I want to leave us with is from repeating Matthew chapter 13, verse 11. It says, he replied, paraphrasing, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 says, praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. I'm going to stop here tonight. And the thought I want to leave us with tonight is, there is so much to know in the kingdom of heaven. There is so much that Christ has invested in you and I. There is so much inside of us that we're yet to discover. I'm sounding like a motivational preacher, you know, but that's not what I mean. But what I'm saying is that God has invested so much in us as being part of the body of Christ. The Bible says that if God did not spare Christ and allowed Jesus Christ to give his life, how much more will he not give us all things? However, the only PS here is this. if all these things are there, the way we get these things, the way these things begin to be real in our lives is as we grow in the knowledge of Christ. And how do we do that? Well, like this, studying the Bible and, well, studying the Bible with our hearts, coming to meetings like this, and really desiring in our hearts that, God, I really want to know you. John chapter 17, verse 3, Jesus was telling his disciples, says, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. So Jesus kept on making the emphasis that what you and I need is knowledge, 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 knowledge. And this knowledge is available. The only thing we have to do is turn our hearts to God and say, God, I really want to know you. Forget about all these things that are happening. I want to know you. And as we do that, we will begin to experience the power. We will begin to experience the benefit. We will begin to experience everything that Christ has spoken about concerning us in the Bible, so that the Bible will no longer be a storybook to us, but we will be the fulfillment, continuing with the book of Acts, from the book of Acts, where it stopped. Amen. Let us pray.